Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And before I introduce our very esteemed guests, we're going to watch a very short video. So here we go.
Aren't you tired of being bored? Bored listening to other speakers? Sometimes even listening to yourself?
Yes. And when a speaker stands up and has a weak intro, or worse yet, they project their PowerPoint behind them and actually turn and read every word on the slide, I know it's going to be a really painful experience.
And dull. You said weak intros. Well, what about this? This is the standard opening. Well, thank you for having me. That's great. And then they close with the equally riveting, well, that's about all I have.
The irony, David, is that they probably spent weeks preparing this dull presentation. Or they had anxiety the night before, and they were so afraid they were going to leave something out, they ended up playing it safe.
Well, there's another way. There's a way that makes you sound just like you, more persuasive, but the best part is, it takes a lot less time to put it together.
That's why we've spent 18 years training professionals to be persuasive and engaging.
We listen for your voice, for what you want to achieve.
And then we give professional tools so you feel supported whenever and wherever you speak.
That's eloquent.
Okay, wasn't that awesome? So now I'm going to introduce Deborah Shames and David Booth. They are two people from the entertainment business. Well, two directors, a spokesman, and an actor who now train, coach, and are keynote speakers. Their business is called Eloquy. Welcome, Deborah and David.
Morning.
So that was a great video. So when was that from? Because obviously your hair is a little different and stuff. That was, you said,
yeah, pre-COVID. Yeah, right.
Wow.
And I was still, blonde. Yes.
Right. Okay.
But
well, you look blonde to me.
The thing about speaking and the people human challenge around speaking and presenting is they never really change. That, you know, the atmosphere, our culture does, the dialogue in a culture does, but in terms of human effort in expressing themselves and being in front of others, that never changes.
However, the techniques to be effective do change.
Okay, so do you mean like speaking as speaking hasn't evolved? Like we lost our tails and stuff like that. Are you saying that speaking has, is that what you're saying? Is that speaking is the same as it's been since the beginning of time or no?
So many young people are on their phones all the time, but if they're going to get a better job, if they're going to expand their footprint, if they're going to give a TED talk, they have to speak. And so that's what we train, because unless you're authentic and unless you can connect with an audience, then a phone is not going to do it.
Mm. And also with, you know, that styles change, styles of clothing change, you know, year to year. It's very similar in terms of the style of speaking and presenting, but in terms of the core, it doesn't change. To speak in visual snapshots, to be authentic, to have a genuine quality about you. That's evergreen. And for instance, when I first started doing trade shows, we all wore suits and we were more like broadcasters. And so we kind of spoke in this tone and a much more kind of professionalese. And very shortly after that, it didn't work because the audiences were younger. So we wore polo shirts and were much more casual.
we've been watching the Olympics, and the standout from the Olympics are not the athletes, interestingly enough. It's Lori Hernandez, who was an award-winning, a gold medal gymnast herself. And because she gives such great commentary and she's so authentic when she's commenting on the female gymnast, she's become the standout. So speaking can really allow you to achieve what your dreams are. What you wanted. Go ahead.
That's the same thing with Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps has become a fantastic commentator because, like Lori Hernandez, they know how the sausage is made. So they're telling you from the inside what's going on with those competitors because they know.
Yes.
Mm. You know, I didn't know whose voice that was, so thank you for telling me. I've been really enjoying watching the Olympics. I didn't realize that Michael Phelps was one of the commentators. Is he one of them for
the best?
Oh,
he
yes.
is the best. And voice. What we love about him, he's not egotistical. When Marchand, I think is how you pronounce Leo it, from Marchand. France, keeps winning gold, his biggest fan is Michael Phelps, who will say he has the best underwater technique of anyone, including me. That's being gracious.
Awesome. Wow. All right. So can you guys just go back? And I want to know, like, obviously there's two of you. So you were each a director in the entertainment business. Who was the spokesman and who was the actor? Or is that the same?
Right there. Yes. I was a director of film and television. And then I met David, who was not only a corporate spokesman and a theater director, but as a lead at Berkeley Rep, Oregon Shakespeare, Tennessee Williams, he understands from a performer's point of view what it takes to engage an audience. And business professionals need that because anxiety for all of us affects 90% of the population. And we say the other 10% are lying. So you need performance techniques in order to, one, feel good about yourself and speak out, and two, to engage any audience.
So we've always had that as our secret sauce. It's always, Deborah has a great deal of knowledge and skill on this side of the camera, watching you and drawing you out. I have a lot of skill and experience being on the other side of the camera and performing. So that's always the Eloquy secret sauce that comes out in all the tips in Briefly Speaking as well, is how does it work from both sides?
Exactly. Yes. No, our three books at Briefly Speaking took 23 years and then recently 2.5 years to give our readers the best we can give them, because speaking crosses so many areas of interest: engagement, rehearsal, opens, closes, storytelling, how to structure a presentation. And we give them to you in bite-sized bits, tips.
Awesome. Now, I just, one quote that I thought of before, people would rather die than speak in public.
Yes, that's Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian. So they'd rather be in the coffin than delivering the eulogy. We love that. And, you know, for women, Hillary, anxiety is even more pronounced. Women often believe that an audience is judging them harshly. They have a nagging, critical voice in their head that won't shut up. And so what many women do, no matter how talented and how accomplished, they stay behind the scenes, which makes me crazy. So I work with so many women executives to bring out their voice, to give them safety nets, and to let them know that who they are is plenty, and to give them the confidence that they can speak out and make a difference.
Now, just to give people a context, if they never thought of themselves as a speaker, you know, like, well, I don't do this because I don't speak or whatever. I mean, it seems like what you're saying is, you know, we all have anxiety, we all have this, we all have that. But, you know, can you give, like, let's say someone, you know, works from home, or they don't, they're not, you know, a corporate exec, or they're not in the entertainment field, and they don't see themselves as a speaker, how this would apply to them?
We all speak, I think that's what you were referencing earlier. We all speak to get our message across. It could be at the PTA. It could be, I convinced my husband, David, to move to Santa Fe because he was going to live and die in the Bay Area. Well, that took my speaking. It also took listening. And eventually, after 6 months, he thought it was his idea. So we moved to Santa Fe. Everyone needs to speak. And what drives anxiety is a 1950s methodology that you have to show up as formal and rigid and gesture a certain way and tell a joke and all these old-fashioned axioms. And so what David and I have done is create modules, safety nets, techniques so that anyone can feel good about presenting and communicating in their own voice, in their own way.
Deborah's really touching on one of the cornerstones of our training, which is really in our opening remarks to our live trainings here in Santa Fe and around the United States, is don't change what you are. We will give you a lot of technique in how to open, close, tell stories, etc. That's all good, but as far as the way you show up, if you're good at conversation, if you're good over dinner or just sitting with a glass of wine and talking to somebody, that's exactly how you want to show up when you're in a virtual setting like we're in now, or if you're on a large stage. You really don't have to change much because you want that personability and openness to shine through.
But you need an intention. You need to know why you're speaking, because sometimes people speak too long. They have discourse particles or filler words like just, right, you know, which makes people crazy listening to you. Or they have long run-on sentences, and that keeps an audience or a client from hearing your important message. So we have to be honest and direct with people and say, this is in your favor, and this is something you want to look at changing.
So conceptually, that's, Deborah's right, that's one of the things we have to get rid of for a lot of people. Because stage fright is called glossophobia, technically, so it's fear of the tongue or fear of speaking. And we thought, well, what does that really mean? In our world, what do we see? Well, it's the fear of being found out for something you're not. So as Deborah was touching on, that's why we don't want people to act like a good lawyer or CEO or actuary. You have to act as yourself, and then you don't have that feeling of I'm faking it.
The other thing, Hillary, is we make decisions with our right brain first. It's the whole idea. It's an emotional connection. So if someone really gets to us emotionally, then we back it up with left brain or statistics or facts. Many professionals, engineers, scientists, CFOs, CPAs, they lead with their left brain. They keep giving you facts. And the rest of us are wondering, what's the whole idea? Why are you telling us this? So when our clients realize they have to start with the whole idea, they have to start with the gist and an emotional connection, and then just salt in the facts, it changes everything.
So, all right. So just to back up a sec, because I'm sitting here as if I was the audience going, you know, why are you telling me this? Why? I don't need help speaking. You know, maybe I will be a speaker one day, but maybe I'm not. You know, like who are you talking to? I mean, I get it. I do presentations at work, but I just do them. I'm sure they could be improved. But, you know, like I'm not thinking I need this. So can you give an overall framework for,
yes,
you know, who your clients are, how you've helped them so that people, you know, could see? I mean, you know, let's say I'm someone, you know, when my kids were little, I was home. I didn't speak up to my now ex-husband. That's part of the problem. But this might have helped me then to have been more authentic, to have been my more real self, to have spoken. But I don't know that I would have looked that I needed you. I didn't think I needed any help. Do you know what I mean? So, all right, I'll be quiet now.
That's okay. We start with mainly young people who need a job. Their parents often say, get Bob out of the house. When he goes to interview, he talks about how much money he wants to make. And sure enough, he can't land a job. Or another parent said to us, my daughter, let's call her Ashley, wants to get into a college and it's really expensive. We worked with Ashley and she got a $200,000 scholarship. Then it goes, yes, to wow. When you're in a job and you want to be promoted and you want a leadership position. Now you're in a leadership position. You have a nonprofit that you really believe in and you want to be the person to raise more money for that nonprofit. Or you're a CEO who speaks at conferences and wants to grow his or her footprint. We all communicate. You have a webinar. If you were afraid of speaking or bringing out your guests, how effective would your webinar be? So we are not life coaches. We don't work on written speeches. But whether you're in a campaign or you're doing a webinar or you're in a job and you want to move careers, it's all around how you speak. And our clients come to us when our workshops or one-on-one because they have one of these goals.
And there are so many pieces to that puzzle. In other words, that's why we do intensive trainings, especially in Santa Fe, is because perception is reality. And it isn't as though you have to have the most brilliant content on the face of the earth, like in the early days anyway of TED Talks, you had to have the brilliant idea. Then it became a bit more about style in the TED world. So it's how you're perceived.
Right.
And those little tools are simple things sometimes, like using a downward inflection, about being able to open up, about being able to engage a camera in the right way. That's what we're talking about with the professionals playbook. Is because they know how to show their best selves.
And interestingly enough, the way you deliver content is worth 2 to 3 times your actual content. So David is right. You can call it impression management. You can call it engineering perception. But if you look down, if you cross your arms, if you don't use your hands, if you do all the things that we know engineers the wrong perception, that's the kind of thing we work on and changing. So I can do a few things with you if you like.
Ruh-roh. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So the first thing you'll notice about Hillary is when she gets excited, she uses her hands. And that's terrific. That shows that she's engaged in the topic and engaged with her guests. Yes. The other thing is you make great eye contact and you're not afraid to smile. And not afraid to show whether something is connecting with you or not. And if it's not, you have a very questioning look on your face. So that's when we know we're not being clear. So all of those things are great, not just for a host, but for anyone that has to be persuasive and get their point across or achieve their goal. And for us, that's what it's all about.
Well, another thing that you do well, Hillary, is we call it reaching through the lens. In other words, whether you're film acting or you're on television or you're in a virtual setting like this, a lot of people, once they get a camera focused on them,
yes,
are like what an old director friend of mine called insects trapped under glass. They're like, people are watching me.
I'm stiffening up.
Is my shirt tucked in?
I can't breathe.
And so they're hyper aware of being observed, so they're not able to get through it. When you talk to us and ask questions, you're getting through the camera. So suddenly what happens? Great thing. The technology falls away
becomes
and it feels
invisible.
Like it becomes a conversation.
Exactly. Mm. One of the things we had to change is during COVID, there wasn't in-person trainings or keynotes. Yeah. So we taught people virtually how to make the camera invisible, how to make that technology disappear. And there are some very stark differences. One, when you're on camera virtually, which it's a hybrid world, everybody is, you have to speak in shorter sentences. People don't have patience and there's too many distractions.
Right.
Shorter sentences and engage the other folks on the camera in the group as quickly as possible.
Another thing is there's simple
How do you engage them? I've seen different people do different techniques. They put something in the chat, you know, put yay in the chat. You know, like how would you say to engage them, just as an example?
Number one, don't use PowerPoint unless you have to. If you want to disengage, start and end with PowerPoint. Usually people put their script, their bullet points on PowerPoint. It's the worst thing you can do. We never buy the PowerPoint, we're buying you. Now, you have another way to engage people?
I can back you up on that, because one of the things that happens when you share a screen and you're putting slides up is that you get this big,
right,
and it's this big. Actors call that upstaging, and is the number one thing that we never want to have happen. So I did hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of trade shows with PowerPoint, but we professional presenters all had techniques to where, one, we had a pause button. If it was a video, we also had a go to black button on our remotes. So if necessary, I would be showing a product in tech. It would come up and I would go, blah, 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 blah. This is the overview, the big idea. Turn the screen off so that all the physicians would then look back at me and I would say, and this is why it's important to you.
The other things you can do.
Wait, can I ask you a question? Because I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Very fair. But
sorry.
So I would think, you know, this is just my brain working, obviously not the right way, but that if you're presenting, let's say, a product to a physician, that it is the product that you want them to see. But what you're saying is no. You want them to listen to you.
No, you're absolutely right. But the opens and closes, we're getting to trust the presenter. At some point, PowerPoint's a visual medium. Absolutely, David would present what the product looks like and how it works. But he didn't have his script in a PowerPoint and walked himself through it.
Also, one always has to, in our business, we always say, what's your intention? That's number one. The intention in a trade show is to get in this instance, physicians off the floor to the sales force so they can give a demo, so then the physicians can hopefully buy the product. So it's not for me to tell them everything. I throw up a slide and say, here's a few features and benefits. Then I get to the part that will make them go into the booth and get a demo, which is the emotional part. I can say, look, are you really sure about the diagnoses that you're given? If it's, say, a large patient and you don't have a good shot with the MRI device, and they'll go, oh yeah, that does kind of worry me. That does. Mm-hmm. I go, that's exactly why. In other words, I have to get a narrative that is personal that will make them want to know more about the facts.
The other thing that happens with virtual presentations, people get exhausted and they don't know why. They're not driving an hour and a half on the 405 or 101 if they're in LA. They're not getting dressed up. And yet, when you're in a close-up, it can be exhausting because we're not used to all eyes on us. So we give our clients techniques, not just for the lighting and the sound and the structure, but how to keep their energy up. So one thing that you can do when you're on an hour presentation, drink room temperature water, eat grapes and apples, stay away from bananas and dairy products and peanut butter. Those give your mouth a sticky quality because everybody wants practical techniques. And that's what we've built our business on.
All right. So can we back up? Because I know you have these tips just to tell people like what services you have so that they can... You know, I like to have the context. So I know you have what, a weekly tip or a daily tip?
Yes. Every Sunday we have a weekly speaker tip that people can sign up on our blog on eloqui.biz, ELOQUI. Our main business is training in workshops. Most of them are on location all over the country. We have ones coming up in the real estate industry. I'm a speaker, a keynote speaker to women in tech and to folks in technology. We give workshops because, first of all, there's no more than 8 to 10 people. You need to take these tips and make them work for yourself. Then we also give, David referenced it, a 2-day workshop in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where we live, where we bring together folks from different industries. And again, how's their message coming across? How do they learn to open, close, tell stories, engage an audience, keep it fresh? Because let's face it, most speakers at conferences or in life are truly boring. And since when folks come out of our workshop and training, they're so engaging, they'll be asked to speak a lot. Well, they need to keep it fresh so they don't start sounding canned or memorized or lose that excitement about it. So we do keynote speaking, training, workshops. Yes.
So in 2 days, I'm just asking, you can take a boring speaker and make them engaging?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Yes, we can. We've even said we'll give you your money back if you don't achieve what you want or become a more engaging speaker, and we've never had to pay anyone back. In fact,
Here's proof.
You can, but wait. So I was reading, you know, they have these books. We're going to get to their books, but you can have them get authentic, have a close, have a great story, you know, the opening. I'm trying to remember all the things I read. Like all that you can cover, and you can work with them individually and get them out of their anxiety and all that stuff. You can do that in 2 days.
Yes. You know why? Because we don't lecture. We do not lecture. We give an exercise. People have very little time to prepare. We get them up on their feet, and then they get critical feedback from the other participants and us. And typically, Hillary, you just gave a presentation and you'd say to a colleague, how did I do? They'd say, fine. Well, you're not going to learn from that. You're going to learn from hearing how you did and then getting a take too. And then overnight, between day one and day two, you have to put together a make or break presentation with the techniques you learned in day one. Yes, she's got her mouth open. And every single time, people improve.
Here's a case in point, Hillary.
When they're getting the feedback, like I would be afraid if I was there getting the feedback and being all insulted and wanting to run away. Like I'm assuming it's given in a very gentle, empowering way, the feedback.
Okay. Right? We are the bad guys. We give them the negative. We always tell people you have to tell someone what you liked. But if you lost interest or if you don't understand, we want to hear from you. And yes, it cannot be insulting. We already have enough self-judgment. We don't need anybody else to judge us.
Well, look, we were directors. Deborah directed TV and film. I directed stage. We never, ever said anything negative to our performers, you know, who are sensitive people. So it really, everything that we do in terms of being very direct with them and tell them what they can improve is they know it is for the purpose of them improving.
Like
and they
yesterday,
feel very supported and motivated by that.
I was on a call with a head of a nonprofit, and she said, you were in my head, because she's preparing for an upcoming interaction with a very important client and sponsor. And she said, I kept hearing you say that I am trying to prove myself whenever I speak. So, Deborah, I want to do it differently this time. What should I do instead? And so that's why we always give our clients the ability to contact us afterwards, after we've trained with them, for no charge. Because this woman needed support. She needed direction. And she needed to know what a true intention was. And she left feeling she left going, I can't wait for this now. I'm ready to go in.
And can I ask what you told her? If she's trying, how does she go from trying to prove herself to, like, what would you advise? Do you mind if I ask that?
Great question. Her focus was on the critic in her head still. Instead, I said, is your intention, what is your intention? And she told me to get this very high level author to show up at our conference in September. Then I go, okay, what are the steps to get there? What does he need? Ask him questions. How can you benefit him? If you put your attention where it belongs, out on engaging an audience of one or 100, you can get there. I had terrible speaker anxiety. I was always behind the scenes. A director's behind the scenes. I'm not out front. David taught me from being an actor and a performer how to change it.
Wow. Well,
you were asking about can people turn around in 2 days? Yeah. We have a number of turnaround stories, but my favorite one is, and I can say her name. Her name is Saja Rauf, and she's Afghani.
And she's an immigration attorney.
Very successful, really does well. But when she came out, she said the first things out of her mouth was, just so you know, I'm a total introvert and I hate speaking anywhere.
Yes. And so she leads a business group. And when she has to give a testimonial, she does it on video so she doesn't have to speak. This was the old Saja.
Saja found out from us that she was very funny, had great insights. Personal stories were like gold, and she had a lot of them. And she got a lot of support from the group, as well as just immersed in technique for 2 full days. She was voted within a few months the
group leader
of the year.
Out of 90 other group leaders.
This is Provisors, a large networking organization. And that's some pretty thin air up there. And yet she got those accolades because, frankly, as you know from listening to a lot of speakers, the bar is pretty low out there. So you just have to be a little bit better and you're a whole lot better.
Here's what else Saja did.
She got that she was funny and she got that she was engaging in a 2-day workshop. She went from shy and introverted to engaging and I think we should all sign up. That's enough. Yeah.
Saja didn't change her personality.
No.
But she did learn that her personal stories of growing up are what engaged an audience and what shaped her. She had never before told a story about where she came from. Then what she did is she paired up with another immigration attorney, Heather, who had also done our workshop. The two of them started traveling to business groups. Now, this is an introvert. And they started giving stories about how people immigrated to the U.S. and how when they made mistakes beforehand, before they had a good attorney, how the process became long, evolved, and many of them didn't get a second chance. And so for us, that's what we live for, is seeing someone come out of their shell, but not change who they are, but use techniques to achieve their objective.
It's just like opening up. You just open up a little bit more about and you erase a bit of that barrier between the personal and professional.
Yes,
so you leverage elements of your personal into the professional because we're all human and suddenly we get a glimpse and we go, oh boy, I really admire her. That's
like, let's look at you.
Deborah, save that thought. We have to go to our commercial break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
If you want to tell me what it is, I'll write it down so you don't forget. And then we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Your personality.
Oh. We're good.
All right. I'm writing it down, even though I don't want to. Okay, good. Ruh-roh, as I said. Okay, we'll be right back.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. You are back at the Getting Real with Hillary show, and we recommend you reach out to KikoriApp.com if you want to bring experiential social-emotional learning to your schools, teams, businesses, because you know that during COVID, our kids got a little bit detached, and they're just working their way back now. If you want to speed up that process, contact KikoriApp, and you can go to KikoriApp.com. And then my commercials, I'm going to dare to do this in front of Deborah and David, the professional speaker helpers, but I'm going to promote my books and then they're going to tell me what I did wrong or right. So this is my memoir, The Second Piece of French Toast. It's a very courageously told story about how when I was married, I kind of forgot who I was. And the subtitle is, If Marriage Was My Dream, Why Was I Numbing Myself? And you will find out why when you read this book. You can find it on Amazon. My favorite book is Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. This is all about techniques that I discovered when, during my marriage, I realized there were 2 sides of life for me. There was a side where I was kind of stuck. Maybe if we use the words that Deborah and David were saying, I don't know if I was nervous. I was kind of just resigned. And then I saw this other side that was bright and cheery and full of possibility and fun. So I developed techniques for spending less time on what I call the left side and to be able to move over to the right. It's called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing, and how to stop fixing yourself and start having fun. So that one I also recommend, of course, because I wrote it. And then the one that the commercial was about, Real Talk, the subtitle, How to Say the Things You've Never Said So You Can Have the Things You've Always Wanted. When I first wrote my first book, someone said, why didn't you speak up? And I was like, I didn't know I even wasn't. So again, Deborah and David, who are coming back in a second, are teaching us how to refine our speaking skills. I probably could have used them. And maybe, I don't know if I'd still be married today. But anyway, my life is good. It's fine. Real Talk, you can go to realtalkwithhillary.com and get a copy and schedule time to talk. And here we go back with our very special guests, Deborah Shames and David Booth. Hello. So I wrote down your personality. I don't know about that, but what did you want to talk about?
Do you see how anxious Hillary got because she thought I was going to say something negative about her personality? It's the opposite. We know you're getting the real Hillary. She doesn't hide. She doesn't use generalities. She uses specifics. And it's as if she's talking directly to us. Hillary, there's nothing better. And your books say it as well. So many times we've been hiding, or we have shut ourselves down for many years. We once had a woman in sales who had a team, and she was with a very big company. She had figured out since 5th grade how never to speak in front of other people. 5th grade. And it's because she thought whatever she was going to say was wrong. So she kept pushing other people out in front. She did a workshop of ours. We have a half day workshop. And during that time, I said to the group, can you tell that, and we'll call her Linda, can you tell that Linda has never spoken in front of a group before? They went, no way. And from that point on, she realized she didn't have to hide who she was, and she could be herself. And I love stories like that.
Well, you know, when I was reading your book, and I don't know which one it was, but, and you were talking about, you know, don't be the motivational speaker and be yourself and yes. be, you know, that's like, you know, this is called Getting Real with Hillary. And that was one of the yes. things that I, you know, put at stake for myself, because I was a people pleasing, pleasant phony who just wanted to keep everybody happy. And, you know, I'd kind of hidden my fun, mischievous self under the guise yes. of being a good girl. So, you know, so it's taken something, but, you know, when I saw it in print, it, I'm getting moved, it kind of validated what I'm doing, you know, that we can all, you'll hear at the end, you know, that we can all be more real, because I think, you know, I don't know if you call it the mask or you call it whatever that we've all yes. on to look good. And what is it?
Yes.
Want to look good yes. and be right. And this is, it yes. something to kind of like we, you know, let's say I'll just talk about me. There was a shell, and every time I pierce through the shell to become more real, or I press play on my TikToks or you know, submit, it takes something. And I'm like, what are people going to think? And then it's like, not my problem.
Who cares?
Control it. But it's still there. Not as much, but sure. I can't imagine, you know, I've worked on this since 2019, so that's 5 years. For someone who doesn't even know that they can be themselves, what would you say to kind of open that shell just a little bit, you know?
How long is this show? No. Okay. I have like three things to tell you. And number one, the reason we don't like motivational speakers is it's phony. David and I once went to a award ceremony for women in business because I was getting consultant of the year, and they hired a keynote speaker, and she came out, remember, an imitator, do. Please.
She came out on stage big, and it's a professional organization, right? It's all about business. She comes out and she goes, I believe in you, and does the pretty much the whole song.
And we started laughing. We thought she was kidding.
Because we thought she would do like six bars of the music and then go, okay, but I'm just kidding. I really do believe in you because I think you're da, da, da. And we were laughing and everybody turned and looked at us with a real sour look. And we're like, sorry, it just looked like a joke because she was so phony.
And that's why we don't like motivational speakers.
Yeah.
However, what you finally realize is, one, you can't please everybody, but what you can do is feel good about what you did for yourself. Me too. That's how I really got over stage fright. I felt good about what I had to share, and I put my attention out on them, and that's the only way to silence the critic in your head.
Well, we also cite the study, and there are a number of studies in terms of credibility, because that's, we all want some of that. It's a great sauce. And so we looked at over the studies, and it all came down to one thing: how the speaker is perceived in terms of their genuineness. So you can call it authenticity or being perceived as genuine. But if we listen to you and we feel like she's the real deal,
she's showing up.
Yeah, I'm getting her truthful self. Then what happens? Then we trust you. Then what happens? Well, we listen to you and we want to absorb your message.
Now,
so is it that easy?
You have
so sorry, but
yeah, like,
is it, because I'm just thinking, you know, some people I trust, some people I don't trust. Like, how do you really,
yes.
like, I always wonder,
yes.
like, how do I know? Is it that simple that if they're genuine and real, that people.
No, there's more.
Okay.
You bring up a really great point. Who you trust. One,
yeah.
You trust someone that makes the conversation about you, doesn't spend the whole time being self-aggrandizing, okay. Asks you questions, doesn't say, I'm going to prove myself to you. That's one. The other thing is you trust them because they look at how you can connect them, how you can really have a collaboration. And let's say you're at a cocktail party and you're talking to someone who could be a potential partner, a lawyer, a CPA, a financial advisor, and all they do is tell you about themselves and they don't turn it around and start to ask you questions. You shake their hands and you go, David, it was really nice meeting you. Yeah. I know you came to meet a lot of people here, so thank you for spending the time. And then you're right. Get the hell out of there. Yeah. That's one. Two, you're shy. And the thought of going in front of a large group of people at a cocktail party or a business group terrifies you. One, have a clear intention, like I will meet three people who are potentially good for my business. Two, take on a role. A role is not an acting role. It is, I'm going to be a seasoned veteran. I'm going to be a facilitator. I am going to be a visionary or a motivator. And we've seen so many times when people put on a role, and we'll show you how later if you want, or at a workshop. It's not like you're sending Hillary out. You're putting on a suit of armor and you're going in ready for battle. And so we love roles, intention and role.
But is that, let's say, so I have clients, I sell Aflac by day.
Yes.
I don't know, I said that on the air because I don't want to get in trouble with the company, but I do. And, you know, if I was going to go make an employee presentation and I was a role.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I sell peace of mind, really. That's really what it is. What role? Well, it's better than trying to sell them the plans, but it does. It provides
right.
peace of mind. What role would that be? And is that and is a role pony? Is that not genuine? That's my other question for a role.
It's a great question. I would say go in as the motivator. And peace of mind is a little too amorphous. What? Here's another idea of an intention. Can I back up a minute before you put sure. take on a role?
Yeah.
An intention could be, I'll qualify to see if the fit's right. And don't say your intention out loud. I'll get a second meeting. Or my favorite, our favorite role is, we will prove that our services are critical to your success. Now you have one of three intentions, and you pick one, and you don't say it out loud, because if you don't, you have to demonstrate it. And then you take on the role of motivator, don't you think?
Yeah.
Push, pull. If you do this, this, and this, you will get that. Push and pull, carrot and stick, is how you don't have to sell, but you can end up partnering and getting a new client.
And you're quite correct in picking up on the, doesn't a role make you inauthentic when you just talked about being authentic or genuine? This is it. It's an acting term, but unlike actors, you don't absorb someone else into your body and
yes.
express through them. A role means you're a motivator probably every day.
I know.
With people here on the podcast, with people in your other life, because you want the best for them. And so you do what it takes to get that out. Well, that's what our version of role and definition of role is. Take what you normally do and focus on those, but in specific terms of a role. Like Deborah said, the motivator is a push and pull, a carrot and a stick. The seasoned veteran, which I used when I did trade shows, was I've been there, done that. I'm speaking out of my experience. I'm not an expert. I don't care if I'm an expert or not, because I know what I'm talking about. And so that's...
You're street smart.
Yeah, that's what Deborah's saying in terms of the suit of armor. Then I could go talk to cardiologists and think, fine, if they'd ask me a question about left ventricular function, I'd go, I have no idea, but I know this product. So,
And never ever take on the role of an expert. An expert is boring. An expert ramps up your anxiety because you're always thinking somebody out there knows more than I do. An expert leaves themselves out of it. One of the ways that we always train is we want to hear your perspective. We don't want to hear you brag, but we want to know why Aflac is important to you or whatever company you're representing. And so there are better roles than expert. And if you're in a contentious pushback situation, take on the role that will give you the most comfort, like trusted advisor, like seasoned veteran. In this case, Hillary, you're a facilitator. You don't make it about you. Your job is to bring us out. So you're not probably even conscious of it, but you're being a great facilitator.
Thank you.
So roles allow the people that we train to see themselves in a different way, but also they're drawing from within.
Yes.
So it's like, identify those things that you do well that you can then apply as a filter for all the content that you're delivering, and that's the role.
One more thing about women often say to me, if I had 2 weeks or a month, I would be so good preparing content. But you gave me 10 minutes and then you asked me to be up on my feet. And I went, life doesn't give you 2 weeks or a month. And in fact, the more time you have, the worse you'll be, because you'll start taking away all the good stuff.
Cleaning it up.
So for example, if we have time, I could show you how to be a seasoned veteran with no prep, and you would be brilliant, because that's what we found over 20 years of training that we can do with our clients.
All right. Well, we have 4 minutes left. Can you do it and wrap up in 4 minutes?
I sure can. Hillary, what is something that you're really good at other than this?
Cooking.
Like hobby, interest.
Oh,
walking.
Read.
Cooking,
I'm a good reader. I work out every day. Good. I'm a good TikToker.
Let's take, so a seasoned veteran uses I statements. They're colorful. They are street smart more than book smart. They tell you what is, and they don't give advice. Give us 1 to 2 minutes about why reading is such a good thing to add to your life as a seasoned veteran. And as David was saying, this is language and behavior. Tell your viewers out there why to become a reader.
Okay, so I believe in that everyone should read if they can. I know some people aren't unable to, but maybe they can find other ways, books on tape. I actually know someone who works with people with neurodiversity, teaching them to read when they never thought they'd be able to. So I hope that everybody, you know, is able to read. But I find that reading about other people's lives, I learn about, you know, people, I learn about how to relate to people, I learn about what happened to them. I love hearing people's stories because I learn from them. I love the fact that I have a show and I get to ask the authors questions about why they wrote something or what happened. I get to ask all the questions that I would never be able to ask otherwise. So I just find that my life is enriched by it. I also could say that sometimes it's an escape when I just want to be in someone else's life instead of mine. All right. Is that enough?
That is fabulous. Yeah. Now, if your listeners hear that, they will believe that you spent days preparing that and you did it spontaneously. And that's because you took on the role of a seasoned veteran. So I did it in under 4 minutes because timing is important.
Wow. All right. That is so cool. Life instead of mine. All right. Is that enough?
That is fabulous. Yeah. Now, if your listeners hear that, they will believe that you spent days preparing that and you did it spontaneously. And that's because you took on the role of a seasoned veteran. So I did it in under 4 minutes because timing is important.
Wow. All right. That is so cool. Life instead of mine. All right. Is that enough?
That is fabulous. Now, if we'll give you a reduced price on this 3-book set, We will include shipping and handling, and we'll sign it. So it's something because we want to give back.
And how will you know that they came from here?
We will, based on how it comes in.
Okay, great. Okay, so go to say it again. What's the
briefly speaking.biz.
Okay. All right. So take
and
them
that's
up.
That's all they
now.
Have to do.
All right. Awesome. Now, in the last minute, if you guys had a vision for the world 5 years from now, your message gets out, people are speaking, what do you see for the world and what's possible?
Diplomacy would return to the marketplace overall, the way that not only politicians, but business people speak to and engage with each other.
Nice.
Mm. And also, like in the 1800s, they would have a much more literate way of speaking and also writing, so that we elevate the culture and get back to our roots, because humans, number one thing that they do well is speak and communicate with each other.
I agree.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, guys. This has been so much fun. You guys are so awesome. I think everybody needs to do your workshops, and I can't imagine that. I can't imagine the world if everybody did, you know, learn from you guys. So thank you so much for who you are, the contribution you're making, and let's all elevate the conversation and consciousness of the world together.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.